Hello, this is Rob and Mike from the McClellan Financial Group, and this is Think Smart with TMFG. So how are you today, Mike?
Doing good. I just finished all the holidays and just getting back fully in the swing of the office now.
What have your meetings been like so far?
Their meetings have been good. The one great thing is we have a very educated client base which understand some of the swings up and down of the market, and of course last year wasn't a great year, but you know, I still get a few of the comments coming back from people. You know, I might as well have took my money and either put it under the mattress or went down to Vegas and put it on roulette. What do you think of it? How do you respond to that?
It's interesting you say that. There was an article written in late November by a gentleman in the U.S. called Ben Carlson, and so he did this article, and it was entitled, When Cash Outperforms Everything Else. And so I'll give you sort of the story that I've been talking to clients about, which is, have you ever played roulette?
Yeah, yep.
So if I play roulette, I typically keep it pretty simple. I'm not a big gambler. But I'll go in maybe and see if I can win or lose $100. And so I often start and I pick a color, either red or black, and I go from there. So what do you think if I put $100 on red, what do you think my odds are of winning?
$100 on red. Well, I know how the casinos have to make money, so whenever you look at a roulette wheel, you always see a little green patch. And what that green patch is, that means the house wins. And that's the way they keep in business. I mean, when you look at the odds on it, it's I believe it's about 48% in your favor, and it's about 52% in the casino's favor. So over time, you know, I'm a mathematical guy, if you play for an infinite amount of time, you're eventually going to drop to zero. So it's a matter of the only way you can win in a roulette is walk away when you're up.
Well, you're right. So I always think it's 50-50, and I know in my heart of hearts it's probably 48-52, but I always go, you know, red or black is most of the time going to happen. And so if I pick a color and I get it right four times in a row, I can walk away with $400. And, you know, I put in $100, and so I've made some good money. And worst case, I lose $100 on the first roll, and I move on and go watch what other people are doing. So I think it's interesting what Ben's article was about is he talked about a year like 2018 where cash outperformed everything else. And so 2018, the year was going along, clients were up a couple of percent, and then October hit and everything sort of fell apart. And so Ben did some research back to 1926, and he said, how many years has cash been the winner? And so the number was cash at that point had been the winner 11 times out of 92 years, which is about 87% of the time. That stock and bonds actually beat cash. So cash can be the winner, but it only happens 11 or 12% of the time. 2018 was one of those years.
Yeah.
And so people think it happens more often than it does.
Well, it feels pretty bad when it does happen.
Well, that's it, right? You go, geez, why did I even bother? I maybe started the year with $500,000. I added $50,000 and I still have $500,000 at the end of the year. Yep. Like, that's not a very good investment that I made. But so Ben's research actually went back and said, well, if stock and bonds work 88% of the time, and I go back to the roulette example, I would make that bet every day of the week.
Absolutely.
I'd start with my $100, and even if I lost my $100, at an 88% chance, I'd reach into my pocket and grab another $100 until I eventually won.
Yep.
He then looked at, well, how often do stocks beat cash? And they look at every rolling period over every 12-month rolling period over 92 years, and about 70% of the time, stocks beat cash. 30% of the time, cash wins. So then he looked at bonds. Even bonds on their own beat cash 66% of the time, almost two-thirds. So when you look at those odds, 66, 70, 87, 88, that's why we do what we do. People wonder, well, aren't I better just in cash or GICs? And the reality, no, you're better in bonds and stocks or a combination of bonds and stocks, which is ideal.
It's a pretty strong bet. It's funny when, as you speak about this, I always think of people that try to market time. And the one thing that throws people off is when you go to Vegas and when you go to a casino, the only way you can possibly walk away a winner is by timing it. Because with an infinite amount of time, you will eventually lose all your money if the odds are against you. The markets are very different than that because the odds are in your favor. And time and being in the markets and being involved in it will be on your side. So it's very different than gambling. As soon as you have the odds in your favor, the more time in, the better you do. If the odds are against you, the more time in will bring you down to a loss. So that's where the markets really differ from going to a casino.
So if you spend the weekend gambling in Vegas, that you're probably not going to walk away with money.
No. There's a chance if you gamble for a half an hour, there is a chance that you may walk away with money if you can stop. But if you continue to gamble in Vegas, you will eventually lose all your money. And the same way in the markets, if you continue to stay in a diversified, balanced portfolio across all the different equities in the world, and you hold that for an extended period of time, you will end up a winner.
I've heard the expression that the flight down to Vegas is the people have the most fun on, and the flight back from Vegas is one of the most depressing flights because you're tired, you didn't get a lot of sleep, and you got a lot less money.
It's a red eye for a few reasons.
That's why it's called the red eye. The other thing I thought we could touch on is, near the end of last year, most of the major markets around the world were down 20%. And we had a few clients that had large sums of money that they were looking to invest. And we saw a few different strategies that took place. What do you think was the right strategy when things were down 20%?
Well, I mean, if you have a normal amount of money to invest in the market, when the market's down, it's a great opportunity to buy in. If you have an excessive amount of money put in the market, say 70, 80% of your net worth, something along that line, sometimes you have to manage, I'll call it manage regret. And the regret is that you put the money in today and it drops tomorrow. So some people will dollar cost average into the market over a period of time. I think it's a very good strategy. So number one, if the market does continue to fall, you're buying more stocks at cheaper prices. And over that period of time, you're going to have bought the stocks at a cheaper overall price. So it's a great strategy to get into the market. We've always told our most successful clients have dollar costed average into the market, even if I have a monthly plan that just puts the amount of money in every month. Don't pay attention to what the market's doing. You'll buy sometimes when it's high, you'll buy sometimes when it's low. But at the end of a lifetime of investing, you're gonna have bought all your stocks and all your securities and or funds or whatever you're buying at a lower average price than someone who just dumped it right in.
I think it was interesting. There was one client in particular that I said, things are 20% on sale. I think it's a good time to buy. And he wasn't comfortable buying. And he said, well, I think it may go down further. And so I said, so if things went down 40%, would you be comfortable in buying? And he said, well, I think I probably would be. And I said to him, it's interesting, across our client base, I can actually on half of one hand name the number of clients that we have that are able to buy at market or close to market bottoms. It's really hard to do. It's because the news, whether on TV, on the radio, on the internet, is it's all doom and gloom.
There's no sign that comes up to tell you it's the bottom of the market. And in hindsight, people always look at the sign that created it, but you don't know it was assigned until after the fact.
Absolutely. So if it's 20% on sale, to me, that's a pretty good sign. It's a pretty good time. If it happens to drop to 40% on sale later on, well, I did pretty well at 20. I think that's a win.
We learned a lot back in 2008, 2009. And I remember, what was the turnaround? It was a bank made profits, wasn't it?
I think it was an American bank said, you know what, I think we're going to have profits this quarter. And it may have been Citibank. And I think the president or chairman said, we're going to make profits. And they called that sort of a green sprout.
And back when we got newspapers, I think it was on page 3 or 4.
Absolutely. And it was like early, you know, it was in the spring. And he likened to seeing your first green sprout coming out of the ground. And sure enough, that turned into, you know, a whole garden. Well, I think that's great for today. This is Rob and Mike with TMFG. We look forward to talking to you next week.
You have been listening to the McClelland Financial Group of Asante Capital Management Limited. Asante Capital Management Limited is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. Insurance products and services are provided through Asante Estate and Insurance Services Incorporated. This material is provided for general information and is subject to change without notice. Every effort has been made to compile this material from reliable sources, however, no warranty can be made as to its accuracy or completeness. Before acting on any of the above, please make sure to see a professional advisor for individual financial advice based on your personal circumstances.